Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is Carl from Deviant Legion and Film and Stuff. Nice to have you with us tonight. And sorry we had to reschedule this because Blog Talk was being a bitch. You heard that a lot. But now I'm so happy to welcome back my wonderful co-host, Miss Rachel. Say hello, Miss Rachel.
Hello, Miss Rachel. And, you know, I guess it's just because I'm so fucking awesome. I'm almost godlike. I kept getting raptured. I couldn't get in, you know? So I'm just going to assume that, you know, it's my godlike presence and touch.
I guess it is. You know. So anyway, we are back to our last back-to-school commentary of one of my favorite films, Back to School. My goodness, I'm so – it's just so wonderful that we're doing a back-to-school commentary of Back to School. You know, I could keep repeating that, and then we wouldn't do the commentary.
And then I would reach through the phone and probably murder you.
Exactly. So this is a film – for me, this is Rodney Dangerfield's best film. And I think one of the reasons is he plays a really nice guy in this. This has a killer cast.
Absolutely.
I mean, unbelievable cast. Burt Young, Sally Kellerman, Robert Downey Jr. at his most cute. Keith Gordon.
Oh, I mean, his adorableness knows no bounds in this one. Oh, my God. He's so young. He's a bitty, bitty baby. I'm going to pinch his little cheek.
And M. Emmett Walsh and just so many great people in this movie. And I've always liked this film. Now, Rachel will do films. We've done films in the past where, you know, she loves her stupid comedies, and she has actually made me fans of things like Beer Fest. So I'm hoping I can do the same thing for her, because I guess you have watched this before when you were younger.
Yes, and I saw it one time, and it was on Comedy Central, so you know it was edited to hell. I have to say that. I have to make that disclaimer every time a movie that I've seen was the first time on Comedy Central. I'm like, it was edited to hell. Please forgive me if I hate this movie right now, but maybe it's actually better. So I will, you know, ask for a little bit of leeway. You know, I didn't mention that to you, Carl, but this is my excuse. This is not my favorite, but Carl has a new appreciation for things now, like PCU. So I owe you. I owe you one, man.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's,
all right.
It's catch can. So this one is on Amazon Prime,
or
and it is free.
$3.99. Yes.
So you don't have to pay for it. And hopefully our commentary will be a lot of fun. And I guess we're going to start here soon. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea. I love that this movie is free because, boy, howdy, I hate having to rent them all the time. Those little transactions add up. And then my husband looks at me and he's like, have you been renting movies for the podcast again? And I'm like, me?
Yes.
No, I have not. You know what? It's tax deductible. It's research. So there you go.
Exactly. There you go. So we're going to start here as the usual. It'll be 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then I say go, and that's when we start. So here we begin. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And it's the MGM Lion. And Orion Films.
Oh, yeah.
And look, it's the Big Dipper.
No, that's an O, Carl. God. Don't you have eyeballs?
No, I don't. I have low balls.
What do we got? We got a little phonograph work going on. Well, looks like sewing machine
all
action.
All black and white.
Oh, yeah.
And a tailor.
Taylor's
this is another thing I like about this movie. It starts, you know, this is him as a young boy remembering his
start. Oh, that
his
kid. Yeah.
Yeah. You've seen him a lot.
Ooh, did you have to carry your books like that, Carl? Did you have a little strappy thing like that?
No, I didn't. I didn't have a strappy thing.
Damn. Eyeballs. His. Yeah, they're, wow. They're intense. What color are his eyes?
The kid's doing the Rodney Dangerfield thing.
Yeah, and did you notice that his tie was on an elastic around his neck?
Yep. Rivington Street, Lower East Side, man. God, I wish I'd lived in New York City in the 40s. Seriously, I'm not joking.
It's very cool looking.
I don't know much about Alan Metter as a director. This is the one film I know he directed. Let me just check. Before we get into the whole.
Yeah, it's going to be a minute. This is an old school movie, back when they still had, like, credits and shit.
Yep. By the way, the score is by Oingo Boingo. It was his first score.
Really?
Yes.
I love all of the cars I've seen in this so far.
Oh, yeah.
Too quick. Sorry,
He did Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Moving in Police Academy, Mission to Moscow. So we're not talking about someone who had a lot
the
of
best track
great
record.
Films. Yeah, but this one is by far his best film, without a doubt.
So I'm just loving this whole intro. Like, I was one of the people that looked forward to interesting, you know, opening credit scenes.
Uh-huh.
I've always wished the ending credits were more interesting, but I get it. Interesting. So,
just so good in this. And you know what?
Interesting. Yeah. What?
They actually have stores like that.
Yeah, they're called Big and Tall, and there's this other one. I forget the name of it, but it's all like more, you know. Metro, I mean, it's got, like, lots. It's all men's clothes, and it's a Big and Tall store, but it's got the more, like, modern cuts of jeans and things like that. And, you know, more in fashion, as it were. So,
I love that there's a board meeting and they're having all this food. Now, that's the type of place I want to work at.
Right? Oh, my God. I may have messed up with this new job of mine. Nobody there is, like, just a genuine foodie. I tried to ask my boss, who has worked in that store for 8 years, what was good in the area. And we literally have like six restaurants surrounding us. And she's like, oh, I don't know. I've never eaten out here. And I'm like, what? You can't tell me what's good? Okay, never mind.
They're abandoned kids. They're all trying to get out.
Love it.
And that is Keith Gordon. Now, Keith Gordon was in the Dress to Kill and Christine, but he's better known these days as a director. And we actually
really?
Did one of his films. The Chocolate Warp was directed by him.
Also, oh, wow.
For Veterans Day, I want to do his film, A Midnight Clear, which is a war film about but he's a very good director. He also directed he became very good friends with Kirk Vonnegut on this film set, and he directed
wow.
both Harrison Bergeron and Mother Night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, I was thinking about Harrison Bergeron earlier today because I was telling somebody that they should read this, some of my essays I wrote on some things, and that was one
okay,
of them.
The blonde so. Kid is
yeah.
someone you can always hate. And, of course, now I got to figure out who the actor is. Just a moment.
I never remember his name.
William
but
Zabka.
Maybe that's because, what was it?
William Zabka. He was
oh,
the main
yes.
bad guy in The Karate Kid.
Yes.
And, of course, he's in Cobra Kai now.
Dude, and I love him to death. But, you know, you love to hate him. And seriously, the only reason Cobra Kai is worth it is because I have never seen somebody try so hard and actually succeed at making a bad guy like that everybody spent 30 freaking years hating
mm-hmm.
into an understandable and even likable character.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there we have Adrienne Barbeau playing the bitch.
Of course. What else would
well,
she
this,
be playing?
Well, you know, in this case, she's perfect for it. But you know, she played she was a scream queen for many, many years.
Yes, I love me some scream queens. You know this. Yes, I even watched that stupid show just because, yeah. Anyway. No cerveza. Oh, wow.
And that is Robert Picardo.
Wow.
Do you know who Robert Picardo is?
No.
Robert Picardo was the main werewolf. He was Eddie in The Howling. He's been in so many Joe Dante
oh.
films. It's not even funny.
That's where I know him from.
Mm-hmm.
That white dress in the background is absolutely fucking classic. I love it.
Yes, it is. I love what he does here. He doesn't care. And he wants to eat. He doesn't care about being, you know, part of the posh club. To me, I get it 100%.
I'm actually, like, I'm fascinated because I'm sitting here Well, actually, I'm eating while watching this movie, and just in case you
Which
guys are foodies like me.
Yes,
I'm eating I did a homemade bolognese a while back and stuck some in the freezer, and holy shit, I forgot that I cut up pepperoni, like a hard pepperoni, and, you know, fried that up a little bit and put it in there, too. So it's like my little pasta surprise right now. I'm very excited. I think Rodney Dangerfield, especially his character in this movie, would be very pleased with me right now.
Yes. See, one of the things about him, he still does his routine, right? But he's doing routine, his routine to people that you don't like. No?
Yeah.
And this really does puncture the sense of, you know, self-made against real rich people.
You know, and I have to admit, I did not see the beginning of this movie now that I'm watching it. So I'm going to go ahead and preemptively rescind my not liking it, because so far, I don't have a problem. So sorry about a little quiet. I'm like,
beautiful.
Yeah,
let's
talk a little quiet. Like, Rodney Dangerfield is so fucking quippy.
Of course, that's not him doing that, but it's okay.
Oh, shit. Unexpected visits from parents to a college are never... Never a good idea.
Now, this was filmed at the University of Wisconsin.
Okay.
And then it's called Grand Lakes University, but it's actually University of Wisconsin. And it's a great friggin' campus. Greek letters.
I love it that this driver's in a red suit. I hate it that it doesn't match.
But that's the whole point. He doesn't care about that.
I know.
It's not about outward image with him. It's about what's inside.
No, I totally get it. He had an ugly wife and four ugly kids and good coffee. Oh, shit. Yay. Get yourself some kids. Oh,
and there
God.
He is, Robert Downey Jr. So Downey actually has the hair. The blue.
Oh no, I'm loving it. It's so terrible.
Proletarian citizens. Okay, some of the humor here is very, very much literature humor. I get that.
Oh, yeah. Very potty movie. I love the Pretenders poster.
Yeah. Like, you like a girl. Mm.
He's like,
nice,
oh, great,
you know,
this is going to be.
But he's a nice guy. You can tell he loves his son. Right?
And his son loves him and wants to impress him.
Aww.
So this movie's really hard to comment on right now because, like I said, Rodney is so quippy. God bless subtitles, because you'd miss it.
Oh yeah. What?
I'm good. What in the empty nesting hell is this?
This is, okay, and Ned fucking Beatty is in this movie, and Dean Martin, by the way.
I love it. And I love his socks.
Yep. Now, Ned Beatty is probably best known for, how shall I put this bluntly, getting fucked in the ass in Deliverance.
He was the little piggy.
Yes, and not only that, in Network and so many films. Great character actor. The
oh, he's amazing.
Business administrator.
I actually forget that he was the one in Deliverance, because I've seen him in so many other things that I'm like, he's such a good character actor.
Okay, the man who just stood up as Paxton Whitehead. He becomes one of the main antagonists. And you may not know him particularly, you know, but you have seen him, like, all over the place.
Let me see what all he's been in.
He passed away this year, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, he was in lots of... lots of TV shows. He did voice work for Animaniacs and tons of British shows too.
Oh, yeah, the importance of being earnest.
Oh yeah.
Mm.
Also, a good friend of Rodney's too. He was in Rover Dangerfield with Rodney, which, by the way, is probably Rodney's worst film. Down and Out in Beverly Hills, but mainly TV shows. But he's all over.
Yeah, I'm noticing that. Every car in this movie is great.
Oh, yeah. And you know this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the comic bits are a little bit, you know they're coming, but still,
it's cool.
They're a little played, they're a little dated, but that was Rodney's style.
Yeah.
Like, he played it safe. He really did.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the color in his hair now. I just noticed that. Ha, mm. The Hooters.
No. Downey is the wingman in this, and he's so good.
I know, that's why he's so adorable. Aww.
There's Zapta. Now, Zapka also, in The Equalizer, which was my favorite TV program from this era, with Edward Woodward, Zapka co-starred in it or had a recurring role as McCall's son. You gotta love Downey in this.
He is like totally down with the man in this. It's great.
Mm-hmm. There's another movie that I love the sidekick to, and that's Night of the Creeps. And,
mm-hmm.
and that one was great. Same type of wingman. Beautiful.
He's fucking genius.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I just that's it. He's fucking genius.
Yeah. Well, you see, that's the thing. It's all about street smarts. And he's got it in spades, this character.
Mm.
And, of course, he learns over the course of the movie, too.
Yeah,
because it's not just about all the money that he has and he can do all these things and coast because he's got all the money. Right? And he learns, too. Of course, I
just
gave
her so much.
Oh, I fucking love that woman. The original Hot Lips Houlihan from the movie also has a great role in Altman's Brewster McCloud. And again, it's just like that type of thing,
mm-hmm.
where he treats his workers well. He treats everything well.
Yeah. And he doesn't do anything shady.
No.
He just straight up throws his money all around at people, helping them out, just being sweet people.
Real inconvenience. You got to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love this.
Interesting.
Okay, I have done, I was in business classes like this with the witches mm-hmm. and shit like that. And what he does here to this professor, I've always wanted to do. Seriously. You know, this
yeah.
really, this movie is about punching holes in the pomposity.
I was always asking questions on my first day.
Oh yeah. Now, I mean, when you were in college, was there a professor that you you had issues with, and that over time, the two of you got, you know, over the semester of that, you came to an understanding?
Let me think for a second.
Well, I'll tell you mine. I had a philosophy professor, and I took every
yeah.
philosophy course, got a minor in philosophy. And Sam Four, I would always question him. And there's one class, particularly Aristotelian logic, where the first class I just drove him crazy, and he like pulled me into the class and said, "Listen, you either show up at class and I probably fail you, or you don't show up at class and I'll give you a C." So that semester I didn't show up at class, I got a C. But years later I talked to him, and he said he really missed me because I challenged him, and he said you could tell these students now that Hitler was the best thing ever. And he was Jewish, by the way. And they would just write it down in their notes and you know, parrot it back at the test. And he said, "Not you." He said, "You would never do that." So.
Well.
Want him. Oh, okay. Here we go. Now, Rodney Dangerfield, as a comedian, he had these young comedian specials on HBO, and he really was a big fan of Specific. And, of course, he wrote this particular scene for Sam Kinison. Okay? And this is one of the most brilliant cameos I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you said, this is pretty brilliantly cast.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh. Erica seems a little passionate about things.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This is just intense.
Where did that put?
He's like, "Yes, yes, I'll allow it." In case you learn how to write. Oh.
You know, Stella Kellerman never really got, I never really felt she got the credit she deserves. When I think of her, I think of three films, the two Altman films and this one. And she did a lot more than that, but she passed away a couple years ago.
I know. It was super sad.
You know, she was in, as I said, a bunch of Altman films, Ready to Wear. She was also in A Little Romance, which is a really good film. And she did lots of TV, you know, later in her career. But as far as, you know, this period of time, you know, I always thought she was, she never got the real shot she should have had.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you there. I would have liked to see her in some more.
Now, I will say this. You know how much I love Rocky and Bullwinkle, and I particularly love Boris and Natasha. He played Natasha in a Showtime movie called Boris and Natasha, which is really good. She's also in a movie called Drop Dead Gorgeous, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And anytime I've seen her, she does a really good job, but it's such a shame that she didn't really like push through.
Yeah. So when they put women in a hat and like large floral prints in the beginning of a movie, you know, she's supposed to be the wild, carefree, romantic spirit.
Right.
So yeah, there's always a hat involved.
Mm-hmm. And then right there, she wants to be romanced in love. She doesn't want to be incorporated.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the robe.
And the slippers. I love the portable speakers there.
It's a sophomore named Chip.
Oh, God. He's so funny. Okay, so yeah, like diving is a thing in a lot of 80s movies. So. I mean, I've never even been to a school that had a pool.
Wow.
That was a beautiful dive.
Yeah. And Emmett Walsh, man. Another great character actor.
God, no.
Blood Simple.
Nice, of course. Okay, so I don't know anything about diving. I just know when it looks kind of pretty and when it doesn't.
Right.
Okay, that was like super low splash. I know that low splash is like a thing.
Right.
Which is why in the cone heads, it was like such a big deal. Oh, dear, what is he doing now?
That's the thing about him. The hair always changes. Everything
changes. Oh, yeah, every single scene, his hair is a different color.
Yeah. I love him. He is. He's just adorable in this movie.
He really is. Oh, my God. I bet he listens to so much Cure.
Yeah, more than likely. Not like XTC or, you know, stuff I listened to at the time.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking the Cure, fucking the Smiths.
Maybe Joy Division, or is that too late?
No, Joy Division. No, that's not too late at all. They're a major part of it. So yeah, I can see some Joy Division there. Yeah, basically all my new wave shit that I listen to.
Right. Now my new wave shit was generally a little bit earlier, but I was still in New York at this time, so I still heard a bunch of stuff, the 80s stuff.
Oh, of course.
It's the 90s where I lose touch. I like to read the seat.
Love it. He's very disarming.
Yeah. And there's a really, you know, the thing is, by the way, we
was not really
about
playing
the soundtrack
that.
Yet.
Well, it's not far enough into it for me to really make a statement on that yet.
No, we did PCU, and that has one of the greatest live performances. This is close.
And then bring one every 10 minutes. Nice. Good Lord. God, back when it wasn't creepy to wear trench coats everywhere. I love it.
Yeah.
So, was he doing a shit ton of coke during this movie?
No, I'm not sure. I would not be surprised. By the way, that is Marianne Tohan. Great dancer.
That's what?
Marianne
Tohan
is her name.
Ah.
She's also the dancer in Streets of Fire with the Blasters.
I was just going to ask about that, actually. I was like, I know I've seen that dancer somewhere, so thank you for already being in my brain pan.
Well, I do know this movie quite well.
Oh. Oh, good Lord. Of course, there's got to be the rivalry here. This is where everything gets all, like, amped up. Nice. Oh, bar fight. That escalated quickly. He's just sitting there watching shit. Drinking his beer. See, that's me. I'm just going to, like, hide under the table, drink my drink. I'm good. You just do your fighty fights.
Oh, and they just destroyed a really good juke.
I was just going to say, that was a travesty.
Like the guy burning the records with the flamethrower in that movie.
God, yes. He may lose his trigger finger.
I went after his family. I mean, that's the perfect Dangerfield joke. Right?
Yeah. Boring. Hate it. It's dumb. It's about a bunch of rich people that don't give a fuck. They hate themselves and they hate each other. They don't even like partying, but that's what they're doing. Bleh. Oh, sorry.
Yep. Oh, that's okay.
Nobody asked me my feelings on The Great Gatsby, but just in case you were wondering.
I'm sorry. That's a very overrated. Well, Vicki and I get in these arguments occasionally, or discussions is more likely, about great American literature. And most of the stuff that I learned, I could care less about.
Oh, my God, me too. It was awful.
Faulkner and Herman Melville and, no thanks. Now, Poe, that was a little different. Hawthorne was a little different.
You know, some of it was all right. I just... American literature is probably my least favorite, really honest.
Classic, what they consider classic literature. Once you get to the 20th century, it gets a lot more interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I think that's what I mean, is classic American literature. I have not really just enjoyed much of anything classic, except for all the stuff that's on the banned list. Surprise, surprise. I still have my American literature textbook. Actually, I have a couple different copies of it, but I've got my American literature books from college and high school, because I was in a college class in high school. That's how I feel. Oh, she already likes him.
Yes, he can. You know, and again, I keep harping on this, but out of all the characters he's ever played, this is by far his most likable character. That's the reason I like this movie more than anything else he's ever done.
Yeah, I guess so. I think when I saw this movie, I was probably tainted by my disdain for Rodney Dangerfield at that point, because he was so crass and so played. And I just, you know, I was going through a phase where I was like, I'm not into this kind of humor at all. It's not funny to me, and I think he could do better. And so looking back on it now, I'll say it the second time, I have not had any problems with this movie thus far.
Together we made mud. You know, and these are classic lines, okay?
Well,
they're
yeah.
classic lines, but they work well within context of what they're doing in the character.
Yes.
You know, if you take a look at Caddyshack, he's a lot meaner in Caddyshack.
Yeah. He is.
You know, here yeah. And here it's more like he's not mean, but the people who deserve it get it because
he's
a nice
sure
guy and he deserves to have the best, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to.
And I really am loving all the outfits in this movie. So, yep, she got drunk and ditched the dude.
Yep.
Now that dress. Oh, no, she's got a scarf on over it. I would not rock
right.
that. But they typically do, like, shawls and scarves, again, for the free-spirited, you know, romantic woman. Dogs are, like, hey, what's
that? Oh, the dog, that's good.
Oh, my God, seriously, if anybody, like, my daddy used to have to do that for me. I have really weird issues with my muscles and stuff. And I would get insane leg cramps. And he would sit there. He worked at a hospital for like 25 years. He knew what he was doing. And he would just sit there and like massage my leg cramps out. And it was the most wonderful thing in the world when it finally went away. But yeah, you definitely end up making some creepy noises when it happens. Like,
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think it's pretty interesting.
Okay, now talking about cameos, right there.
Right.
When I first saw this, my mouth hit the floor.
Oh my God, really?
Okay, another great little character actor is Severn Darden, who is Dr. Barzini here.
Yeah.
He is Kropotkin in The President's Analyst. And just an incredible, he was part of Second City. He worked a lot with Alan
yeah.
Arkin. Just a wonderful, wonderful character actor.
Okay, so let's see. Okay. I mean, that seems simple enough.
No. You know this is going to go wrong.
Oh, absolutely. If they were in a lab, they would have all of those monkeys in diapers, I'm just saying. Wow.
Yeah.
I guess monkeys like pizza.
Okay, so the whole thing here is, you talk about costumes with him in the sort of semi tuxedo with the bow tie and that sort of thing. It just shows you. Oh, Edie McClurg.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot she was in this.
I did too. Oh my god.
I told you this cast is just, it's just loaded.
It's insane, dude. Oh dear. Wow. Okay, so I'm hoping that, like, this comes back to bite him in the ass later.
Oh, it does. Trust me, it does. It does.
Well, okay, of course, I know everything's going to work out in the end, but... Well, there we go. Oh, his son's going to be all disappointed in him and shit. And he's going to be like, oh,
yep.
Man, I feel so bad. I'm going to have to learn it for real.
Okay, I love the pork pie. Well, is that a pork pie or what is that? The hat on.
You know, I'm not sure what that one's called. There was no point in her telling him that she had a date. Be like,
no.
Oh man, I've got plans already. I am so sorry.
Well,
no, that bitch is looking at certified.
Zapka, so you know, I mean, it's all setting it up, and you know, and it's. Maybe just a bit clunky, but you know what? It's what it is.
Well, yeah.
But that Zapka at this point just plays the smarmy asshole so fucking well.
Yeah.
He's a guy that you love to hate because he's such an asshole.
Good. His eyes, they're just going to, like, bug straight out of his head, dude. They're kind of freaky. They remind me of, like, Furby eyes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they have really good chemistry in this.
They actually do.
And you actually, okay, that's definitely you saw a little bit of a, well, not a camel toe, but whatever they call that for a man, okay?
Yeah. Oh, he's going to fuck it all up. Because he's all on his head and shit.
Whoops.
Yep. Rose.
Okay, that's a little scary. The leopard skin and shit.
Yeah.
No.
Well, no.
Okay, this is Oingo Boingo. Danny Elfman.
Yep.
Okay. This is a pretty good... This one's pretty good, too. It's not as good as George Clinton on PCU, but goddamn, it's not bad.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that. It's not as good as George Clinton, but that's still...
Again, I don't think I've ever seen Robert Downey Jr. so loose in a film. Seriously.
Yeah, you know. I happen to think.
The closest I could come to it is a Scanner Darkly. Because he's paired up with Woody Harrelson. But that is not a comedy. But they're the comic relief, more or less.
Dick.
Listen, there are days where I have been a dick. Okay? I mean, I get it when you're that disappointed. That doesn't excuse you or excuse me from doing it.
Yeah. He wants to go hang
that
out with the youngin. Security's there bringing ice, I bet. Oh,
no, beer.
Beer, even better. Beer.
Okay. Okay, this is Dead Man's Party. It's the perfect. It's one of the perfect songs for Halloween, by the way. Just want you to know that.
Yeah. I have a feeling I know why you're saying that.
Now, generally, you know, the professors don't interact with the students.
Yeah, it's generally frowned upon.
Yes. Well, back in the 70s, I had an English professor who basically boinked everything he could find.
We have a few professors with some questionable student histories. Oh, she's going to go in there and see if the babes can get all pissed off.
Yep. So he starts to realize he's fucking up.
Yeah.
And this is where he changes.
I'm sorry, but she blew him off to straight up go on a date with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
So, like... Why is she mad, bro? He's being a pretty big dickhole right now.
Oh, I'm not saying he's not.
I mean, kind of unnecessarily so.
But it's the you know I was on a commentary and watch with Vicky, and she talks about the hero's journey. And generally, the hero's journey starts out as a good guy, does something that fucks up, and then has to redeem. And that's very much the normal pattern in the film.
Yeah, I mean, like, that is very typical. I mean, there's a few different types of film, but you know, the hero's journey is one of them, and it's a major one, especially for, you know, just these lighthearted, easy to watch movies.
I did it all for you. I was a lot happier when I was miserable. I've been there. Damn. Oh.
Just know the first thing about Coach Veronica. And yes, this is a PG movie, by the way. I think it was PG-13. It was not a horror movie.
I think PG-13, but no.
So, yeah, this is a nonstop movie. Like, the dialogue just keeps hitting, man.
Well, that was always, you know, I mean, Dangerfield grew up basically influenced, though he didn't really hit the Borscht Belt. But those type of comedians, you know, Henny Youngman is a good example. And it was all this pattern. It was all these one-liner jokes that just were thrown at such incredible speed. Of course, a lot of that comes from the Marx Brothers. And you had to keep up with it.
I do see that, and oh, see, I was right. He has to learn all the shit really, really quick.
And I'm done.
I knew I was going to say that.
Sometimes you need Burt Young to set you right.
Yeah, I could see that, though. Like, he is nice and tough. He's like that scraggly-ass teddy bear you find at the Goodwill. It's only got one eyeball, but you fall in love with it anyway.
Exactly.
It's got the kind of rough fur, but there's just something about it. I can't believe how many brands they're showing in this, by the way. It's so weird to watch these old movies like this sometimes. Because, you know, it was shortly after this, I guess, that they had to start blurring that shit out. Okay, we've got to have the montage. It's an 80s movie.
Absolutely.
Where's my montage?
Great.
There
great
we go.
Gag.
There we go. There's my montage. Love it. Okay, some of the physical humor is pretty great.
Oh, yeah. That's a lovely, lovely thing.
I think that's just such a beautiful picture right there, but it's, you know, absolutely impossible.
I think I've actually done that in the mornings.
I know I have.
This is a great scene. Okay, this is a great
Yes,
scene.
It is. Yeah, this is going to be like the whole epic scene where it's also a montage, but it's more of a, you know, no, it's going to be more of like a time-lapse kind of thing. And it's going to like fade in and out through all of the teachers until it gets to the final one. And yeah. And of course, Phil is going to be the final one. Oh dear. He's not doing well. How's he going to stay awake? Can't even sit in his chair straight. Oh God. What's going to happen? Of course. And all the other teachers are like, I knew this bastard. Okay, so what is going on here?
Come on, you know it's all going to work out well.
Well, of course.
There's nothing surprising about the film. Okay, about the plot itself. But it's just fun.
That was actually a sweet apology. Nope.
Yes.
Aww.
Keith Gordon gets the girl. Yay!
How does that work? Oh, because he doesn't do that with his collars. What is it? You know, I did that to a teacher once because
yep.
I had to take 2 years worth of French at my old school, and I didn't want to continue taking French at my new school because it was no longer a requirement. It was a requirement at my old school that I take a foreign language, and I had French. So at my new school, I didn't care about the French class. They stuffed me in. So I slept the whole time, and the teacher just
okay,
absolutely...
I'm going to stop you here because you got to hear this. This is beautiful. Okay, I had to stop you there because that just proves that son of a bitch can act. Seriously?
Oh, absolutely.
What do you think?
No, that was beautiful. Wow. Nice.
You seem wonderful.
Oh, absolutely. That was slightly better. Okay, so he's going to be all confident and shit now?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's McGann.
Great line.
That was pretty fantastic.
Yep.
That's what I was thinking. Well, is he scared?
No, he wants to.
Huh?
No, he wants to screw it up. He pisses.
Oh.
Science fiction.
Yeah, look for his funny little hat. I love him.
Yes.
Such a liar.
Yeah, but
of course it was for the good of the team and the school and all that, so I guess it's okay, but they're like totally giving mixed messages in here. Okay, so we've got an impossible dive coming.
But of course it's silly, but you just gotta love him in this.
That was just so random. I did kind of love that. Amazing. And like no splash. Nice. this just makes me want to swim. I did not swim at all this summer, and that has made me very, very sad. Everybody gets the girl.
I love the big cigar.
I do, too. Like, this movie is just so fucking random. Which I love.
It's rough out there.
Mm-hmm.
What that movie?
Wow.
And there you go.
Okay, so I also need to admit, this is not the movie I was thinking of.
Oh. Okay, then what movie were you expecting?
No, maybe this was it. There was a hot tub scene.
Yeah.
Anyway, watching it start to finish and loving on some baby Robert Downey Jr. and what I think Rodney Dangerfield is some of the best shape I've ever seen him in. Obviously, I know where his stunt doubles were, but I'm saying it looks pretty good in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised. And I'm not used to seeing him as a romantic figure either. So that was kind of interesting.
Not at all.
But seeing him actually act and read that poem was just, well, recite it, honestly. It was just amazing. So, yeah, newfound respect here.
By the way, just want to bring out something. Chuck Russell is the production manager, also produced this film, and also is the director, and he did the Blob remake in the 80s, which is a couple of years past this film. And it's a damn good movie. So I just wanted to mention that, too. To me, this is the Rodney Dangerfield film for me. There's nothing better he's ever done. This just works. And to me, I definitely pushed this the whole commentary. It's because he's a nice guy. You know?
Yeah.
He's a nice guy, and the relationship between him and his son, Keith Gordon, in this is really good, you know? And again, the idea of him being a romantic lead, that doesn't happen in any of his other films. Well, no, it does happen in Easy Money, but it doesn't work in Easy Money.
Right.
But it works here. And the thing about Sally Kellerman... Sally Kellerman in this, that could have been just a puff role, you know, for somebody, but she brings something into it too. So it's much more subtle than everyone else in the film. I really, really like this movie. And again, this is the first film that Danny Elfman scored, which is another thing. And, of course, Danny Elfman and Oingo Boingo in the party scene. Lenny Niehaus did the instrumental score. I met Lenny on a couple occasions. He published with a company called Kendor. And when I was in music publishing, I was very good friends with Craig Cornwall and met him on a couple times because he did a lot with Craig. But,
yeah.
And he could even sort of sing. He did the twist and shout. Not well.
Yeah, that happens. That seems to be one that everybody tries to recreate.
Yeah. But there you go.
Wow.
That is Back to School, and that changes, that ends all of our Back to School commentary watches. We did PCU last week. We also did we did Getting Straight. So you want to check those out? And that'll be fun. Okay, so I think at this point we're going to go into just a little bit of housekeeping. Let me get to the episodes here. Okay, and just give me a moment. So here we go. On Sunday, which is October 1st, we have Rock This Town Radio with TC. It's Under the Radar. It's a bunch of bands you've never heard of or that you should know. There's going to be some great music in there, including from the Pittsburgh band The Clarks. Good stuff. Then on Monday, Vicky is going to continue her commentary watches with me on Mad Max Beyond Thunderstone. And then on Wednesday is big, which is October 1st at 3 p.m. We just cleared this out. We have the Chaka Go Go Film Festival preview with Eric Eichelberger is going to be on. That happens from October 18th to the 22nd here in Metro NYC in Brooklyn. We're going to have some of the filmmakers also come on. I'm trying to get them on right now. But some of the filmmakers that will be involved in this is our good friend Scooter McRae, but also Larry Fessenden, who did Habit and also is an actor, and you've seen him in 100 things. Lloyd Kaufman, who's been on with us before, is going to be part of this, along with Peggy Stefan Sarno is going to be there. Her husband, who has passed away, is one of the great sexploitation directors by the name of Joe Sarno, and they're going to have two of his films. But I'm going to be in contact with some of the other people, and hopefully we'll have them on either right before or right after the festival to promote their films. We're really looking forward to it, and I'm definitely planning to go down at least for the Wednesday. Hopefully for the weekend, because it starts on Wednesday the 18th and it's to the 22nd, and it's at the Film Noir Theater in Greenpoint. So we're very, very happy to partner with them and to promote the festival. So there you go. What do you think of that, Miss Rachel?
I think that sounds like an amazing shitload, butt ton of stuff we got going on here in the future. So everybody might have to pull their handy dandy little notebook calendars out, get all that down.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, we're going to be doing commentary watches during spooky season. We're going to do a playlist. I can tell you two movies I know we're going to do. We're going to do Pin, which is a little known Canadian psychological horror movie from 1988. And then I am trying very hard to set up for November 1st, which is Day of the Dead, a commentary watch of Day of the Dead. We did, 8 years ago it was, we did a show on Day of the Dead with actors Joe Pilato, Gary Carr, both of them have passed away, in honor of my friend who passed away previous to that by the name of Ralph Marrero. And I'm hoping to get, hopefully, John Amplis on. I want to get, I want to see if Gary Carr's daughter, Rachel, would want to join us for that. So I'm trying to get that together right now. But no matter what, we're going to be doing a commentary watch of that film on November 1st. So there you go. All sorts of things happening in a playlist too. We're going to have a playlist of spooky songs too happening. So that's
absolutely
a lot going on spooky season. So Rachel, I'm so glad that you joined me for tonight and that we were able to do this since we were going to do it 2 days ago and Blog Talk was being a bitch. I'm just so happy that you really enjoyed the film.
Absolutely. And like I said, you know me, I'm always one to change my opinion when faced with, you know, the facts. And the fact is I had not really seen that movie at all. I do remember that was the movie I watched years ago, but they seem like two completely different things.
Yeah, I understand that too, and that's happened to me, particularly with PCU. We just did PCU, and so you know, you get a different perspective when you're a little older. So there you go. So we want to thank everyone for joining us tonight, and we're looking forward to spooky season. So folks, get ready, get out your Halloween decorations. You know, start celebrating Halloween because it's coming, kids.
Yay, I'm so excited. I already have some decorations out.
Oh, I know. You guys are really into Halloween. I've met Sven, by the way. Do you want to explain who Sven is?
Sven is our family skeleton. He is a life-size anatomical skeleton that used to stay inside. But right now, since we've moved into the new place we bought in January,
He has stayed on our front porch and dressed up for all the different holidays. We give him beads and glasses and hats and stuff. But hopefully this year we're going to buy a skeleton to keep outside so that Sven can come back inside and stay with the family. He likes to hang on the back of the doors.
Exactly. So there you go. Well, folks, thank you very much for joining us tonight, and hope you enjoyed the movie. And we'll see you in a couple of days with TC and Under the Radar, and I'll be on that show. So, again, thank you very, very much for being with us. And I think at this point in time, it's time to say good night, Miss Rachel.
Good night, Miss Rachel.
Good night, everyone. Enjoy. Don't let the bed bugs bite. Good night.